Appreciate the prayer this morning. In fact, that's what the topic is. I know Brother Edward put out some emails about prayer over the past month here, and I found it interesting that I had already been talking about this, and then I thought, oh well, there it is, you know. So I hope it's not something that's, I don't want to say boring to you, but hopefully we have some more insight on this today and maybe approach it with a little bit different view. But certainly prayer is a vital part of our life that we need to be in communication with God. It's a time to talk with God, isn't it? It says, you know, well, think about your life and your relationship that you have with your family members. Have you ever gotten to fight with a family member? Ever? Anyone ever that happened to you? How did you resolve it? What happened? I don't know, maybe when you're kids, maybe you just started fighting, and then pretty soon you got tired, and then it was over. But when we're children, it's easy to forgive one another and to get back to our normal activities, isn't it? And somehow as we age, it seems to be harder to forgive an offense. But the way of getting over being upset is to talk about the problem or to show the other person that we care. Well, children don't always say they're sorry, do they? Sometimes they'll just start going back and they'll start playing together and having fun. And, you know, hey, everything's good again. They had that communication, though. Because when they're playing again, everything's okay, isn't it? They're kind of unspoken there. But either way, there's some form of communication that had to take place to resolve that situation. But God is concerned about our life and He wants to hear from us. We need to know God better and He needs to know us better. And that's how we do that. So we need to communicate with God if we want a spiritual relationship with Him. Well, prayer is communication. Communication is input, isn't it? So like any parent, God wants to hear from you. What would it be like if you couldn't communicate? How would you know if one of your children were in danger? And I'm not just talking about obvious things that are happening, but things that you may not have seen or heard about. Well, we need to talk to God about our life. That's input that we give to God. And as parents, we learn what's happening to our children by talking and listening to them, don't we? Spouses learn by talking to each other after a hard day at work or a long day at home with the kids. Or whatever the case might be, we had a long day, we talk about it. We learn what's happened. And through that communication, we can sympathize with each other. We can empathize with each other. And of course, this is feedback to God, as I said. So with conversation, we can more easily see if others are having a hard time, can't we? Whether it be schoolwork, peers, our spirituality, whatever it is, we can communicate that. And it requires our participation. Well, in the same way God needs to hear from us every day, same way that we communicate with our families and kids, God needs to hear from us. It displays our faith and it builds our relationship with God. You know, God can see and He knows our very thoughts, but He wants us to speak with Him. He wants us to speak with Him. James 2:18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Okay, well that's not prayer necessarily, is it? But what I want to show you is that we need that communication. And that's part of our faith. You know, what would it be like if we were walking by our closest friend and we weren't speaking a word to him? We're just walking along. You know, well, I mean, some people do that today. They text each other, right? And they just sit there and it's kind of weird to see. They are communicating, but if you didn't do that, you wouldn't know that person very well, would you? You wouldn't know them because you're not talking, you're not communicating in some way. But James 2, talks about our faith by what we do. And praying is an action that shows our faith in God. It's an action that we do. It shows our faith. Well, some things sometimes we pray when what? We're happy. Favorable things have occurred, have happened in our life. God wants to provide us with blessings. He wants to bless us. And we need to recognize His blessings in our life and thank God for them. Do we always demand from God without appreciation and loyalty? God, if you just give me one more thing, one more, I'll be happy, you know? One more thing. I just need that one more new shiny thing, whatever it might be. You know, when you give somebody a great gift, maybe it's a birthday present, a graduation gift, some kind of special event, you like to know that they appreciated it, don't you? You might have went and you looked hard. You go, man, I found this. I looked all over town. Or I had to go to Tucson. I found that. Well, happiness is an outward display of joy and delight, which would indicate from somebody who received your gift that they really liked it. They're like, wow, hey, this is great. And when we don't hear or see any appreciation, we reason that, well, maybe they weren't that grateful. Maybe they weren't happy with that gift. But we need to take the time to thank God for these blessings in our life, showing that we are thankful. God wants to see that. Ephesians 6 and 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God wants us to talk to Him about all things. He said all occasions. So here, this slide was happy, but we'll talk about some other things. But we're encouraged to keep on praying. Keep on praying, it says always. What about when we're sad? You know, we suffered some sort of loss. Has anyone ever felt depressed or distressed in your life? It's not a good sensation. You feel miserable. You feel sad. You can see it in that little kid's face. He's not happy at all. Psalms 38 and 4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. David talking about his life. Sometimes we may be the cause of our own misery, though, too, aren't we? When we sin. If we sin, we can be miserable from it. That can cause sadness. Other times we may have done nothing wrong, but maybe we're persecuted, we were belittled, ridiculed, or maybe somebody close to us possibly died, a death. Or maybe they moved away and we were sad. But we've all been through many times, many sad times in our lives. You know, was it easier to resolve your sadness by going and sitting in the corner and feeling sorry for yourself? No. It's not going to work. Sometimes we do feel sorry for ourselves. But this is a time to pray with brothers and sisters. And there's great comfort when we can share our burden with God and our brothers and sisters. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burden is light. Well, how do we apply that to our life? Well, if I gave you a 500-pound weight to carry, how long could you carry that before you became overwhelmed? Maybe it's only 200, 300, whatever. How long? It probably wouldn't take very long, would it? Maybe one step? Maybe 10 steps? It's just too much. Now, if you had someone to share that burden with you, it'd be much easier, wouldn't it? In fact, Jesus has taken all our burdens away. He's told us that. He'd take our burden away. All you have to do is ask. You pray. Pray to God. Jesus is willing to take our burdens. I had one more on that last slide before we go. It wasn't on there. But Psalm 68 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Daily. The burdens of our sins, the things that can make us sad and make us feel blue and down and depressed. We need to talk to God about those. Well, we may be feeling sick physically. It could be spiritually too. Our health could be failing us. But prayer is a powerful tool to heal the sick. James 5 and 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Well, James talks about our sins being forgiven and confessing our faults to one another, doesn't he? These two are tied together, indicating that sin may be a cause of illness. 1 Corinthians 11, 29-32 speaks of the Lord's Supper and eating and drinking judgment on ourselves. Why? And it says, so there are some instances, you know, number of going weak and falling asleep and all that. So there are some instances where sinning brings about physical illness. Could possibly do it, as we read. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? Both were struck dead. You can't get any more physically dysfunctional than that. That's it. That was a pretty drastic way, a consequence of their sin, wasn't it? But certainly we can also become ill by worrying over problems in our lives. The constant worry about things. Stress will eat away at your health. Stress plays a big role in heart disease and heart attack. It really weighs heavy on the body. Well, how do we get rid of that stress? We learn to let God be in control. How do we do that? We confess our faults and we take our cares to Him in prayer. We talk to Him about it. Well, we could be upset too. Things just didn't go the way I expected. Have you ever been disappointed over something? Might not have been too long ago, huh? Disappointments happen. It's just not... It just didn't turn out the way you wanted, did it? The way I had it pictured, that just wasn't it. Look at this baby's face again. You can see he's upset and they're not going right for him. Not a good day. Jonah 4, it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was very angry and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So this is after he had been in the throne of the ship, in the belly of the whale, and spit out on the shore, and went to the town, and had preached to him. He was so upset that God spared Nineveh. He just wanted to die. That upset. That's not the way he had it pictured. Destruction was in God's plan, but he changed his mind. He did change his mind. But Jonah talked to God, didn't he? And was shown the error of his thinking. God straightened him out. He gave him a little gourd of vine that grew over him and showed him, you know, how he cared about that, but he didn't care about the people he's trying to tell him. The king also made a proclamation to all Nineveh. In Jonah 3 and 8 said, but let every man and beast covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. He made a proclamation for that. He seen there was something wrong, and he needed to do something about it. And he said, let him cry mightily unto God. They wanted to talk to God, to pray about this. He was upset to hear his kingdom would be overthrown. And he cried out to God, and God listened. It wasn't what Job was thinking, was it? But God's way, his plan is not always what we might think it is. But they prayed to God, and he heard. Well, when we're thankful, we pray. Favorable events in our life. It says, dear God, I want to take a minute not to ask for anything from you, but to simply say thank you for all I have. You know, many times we focus on the things that we desire, our wants. I think, well, I want to pray. What do I want? What do I need? And remember to thank God. We need to remember to thank God for all the things we've been blessed with. What positive events have happened in your life? Praise God for those things. Not just thinking about ourselves or what we need. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children to disobedience, among whom also all had our conversation in times past with the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were there. But God, who is rich in mercy, for great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that out of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're no longer dead to your sins. Dead in your sins, I should say. You're no longer dead in your sins. When we think about great things that God has given us to be thankful for, the greatest blessing we received was eternal life. The greatest. This is the greatest thing we could probably ever be thankful for. However, all these events in our lives, positive, they don't have to be great events because God blesses us in so many little ways too that we can thank him for. It's not just big things, it's little things every day. We're here today. We're walking. We're talking. We're singing. We're using our minds to process the information up here that I'm showing you. Got a lot going for you right now. Many things to be thankful for God. Well, sometimes there's uncertainty in our lives. And we're concerned about the future, aren't we? I say sometimes. There's probably things every day that we're like, we have to try to plan for things, and maybe we're not quite certain if we're going to be able to do that or not. Does not knowing the future ever bother you? Like I said, it's probably a daily thing that can come up. Have you ever had to wait for a test result? It could be a school test, could be a medical test, anything. Oh man, what's it going to take? When are they going to call? When are they going to? You take a final exam on a Friday. Now I got to wait till Monday. Did I pass? You can remember the anxiety, right? Well, the Bible tells us not to be anxious about anything and nothing, right? And as we read in Job, too, I mean, we think we have troubles. What about Job? He had some pretty serious problems, didn't he? He lost pretty much everything that he had, and he was searching for answers. After all had happened, he remained faithful to God. And there's Philippians 4. That do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Every situation. We can pray to God about everything, anything, but don't be anxious about anything. Stress doesn't do you any good. It's hard for us to do that, though, isn't it? Job was confused, but he turned to God in prayer. Didn't he? He talked to God. When we could see the purpose of Job's trials, let's pull that up here, Job 30. I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly with the might of your hand. You attack me. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in the storm. I know you'll bring me down to death to the place appointed for all the living. He was stressed out. Talking. Why is this going on? What's happening? Well, we can read about his trials from the Bible. We can see the purpose of Job's trials, can't we? We understand. We can read about that. Job, however, he didn't understand why this was happening. He knew God was in control, and he felt God was in control. He didn't forsake God, but he didn't see God's purpose in that picture. Could there be things in our life that happen like that where we're not sure, we're not certain? Why is that happening? I wanted to go this way, I planned this, but now it's all gone. How could that be good? God has a way to make it good. When we're amid uncertainty, we too should pray and remember that God's direction is not ours. We may have the same direction, but it's not always the same thing we have in mind, is it? But God is always in control. Well, we can pray for direction. Which way do I go? Have you ever headed down the road thinking you were going the right direction and you ended up going the wrong direction? Ever? Every man in here could probably raise their hand, because we're like a Google map. I don't need that map. I know where I'm going. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean on unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, we can become easily confused when we rely on our own thinking. We end up lost in a place we don't want to be. We hadn't planned on it. And when you head down our paths in life, we can be lost if God's not guiding us, if we don't let God guide us. This is why we must get our directions from God, from His Word. We pray to God, we talk about it, and He directs our lives. He shows us things. And when we pray, we acknowledge Him. We recognize Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge, yes, Lord, I believe you. I'm praying to you. I'm asking for advice. Matthew 7 and 13 says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, when I think about going down the wrong path too, Paul came to mind. The path he was on when he was Saul. He was persecuting the Christians. He thought he was on the right path, doing the right thing here. Get rid of these Christians who are trying to malign the Word of God. He thought he was on the right path, but God redirected his path. Now, I don't know if he prayed and for the guidance and stuff like that, but God spoke to him and he redirected, didn't he? And when we pray, we need to ask for directions in our life. We don't want to end up falling off the cliff or on a dead-end street and be somewhere where we're lost. Well, we pray when we want help in many other ways too. For example, if we can't bear up, like, this is just more than I can take. I need help. Think about the tremendous weight of sin that Jesus had to carry to the cross. That's some serious weight too. He prayed in the garden, didn't he? You know, not my will but thine, but if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Forever asks, receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, a door will be opened." You know, when Jesus was on the cross too, the amount of strain he was under, it tells us in Matthew 27, it says, "About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, imas sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" He was in distress, wanted help. Why? He felt alone. Well, God didn't intend for us to stand on our own. He wants us to recognize that He is our strength. And He will provide if we ask of Him. As in Matthew 7. How many times have we waited to pray for help from God? And we should not wait till the end. Prayer should be the first thing we think about. Are we going along like, "Oh, that's not going too good. Well, here, I'll fix that. I'll take care of it. I can do it. And we rely on ourselves. We should pray to God about it. You know, I've been doing that before, working on the car, and out there, look up something on YouTube, and you go, hey, man, that's an easy fix. That's probably 30 minutes. I'll be out there, and we have to come back and look at it again. Ah, this thing's not going. Come on. Get a hammer or something, you know, and beat on that thing. And you just get frustrated with it, and you have to sit back and say, take a little time out, Lord. You know, please help me to finish this task. I need help to get this done. It takes the stress away, and you're able to go back out there and finish it. Well, like our earthly fathers, God knows how to give us good things from those who ask, doesn't He? We remember the parable, you know, who would give their son a snake or a stone if they asked for bread, right? He knows how to give us good things if we ask of Him. But we cannot approach God if our heart is proud, if we have a proud heart. Think, oh, I could do it on my own. Many times we think we can do it on our own. Maybe you did it on your own, but that builds up your pride. Instead, we need to humble ourselves and put aside the pride and ask God for help and guidance. Well, we pray in persecution, don't we? Everyone's out to get me. Throughout the Bible, we can read about the Jews being persecuted, and that's kind of what the picture is, like a POW camp there. You ever wonder why you're being persecuted? I think everyone here would have some questions in their mind at times. Why is this happening? Why is, you know, may not be, why is God doing this to me, but why is it happening? I did what was right. I helped those in need. Why me? Why? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? Every time I do something good for someone, I get ridiculed. What's happening? Well, the Bible tells us we'll face trials and persecutions, yet to consider it joy. Consider it pure joy. You have heard this been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of God, or children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? Well, you know, we go through persecutions too. It tells James 1 and 2 says that will make us mature and complete. There's a purpose for things like that. Give us perseverance too. Well, Matthew 5 says that it is contrary to human nature to pray to somebody who is trying to harm you, isn't it? Love my enemy. That could be hard to do. How many times did they do things to me? How many times did they get me in trouble? And I'm supposed to be good. But that's the Spirit of God. That's the love He wants us to show. God created mankind, and He's willing that none should perish. We're His creation, all of us. So we should have the same love God has for all people, that they should be saved. That's how we need to think about that. You know, remember Paul. Before his conversion, he was killing Christians right and left and persecuting. Well, if someone had just killed him, he wouldn't turn out to have been a good worker for God, would he? But God intervened there directly. Well, what if God said only those with blonde hair over 5 feet tall can be saved? I don't know if gray hair counts if it was once blonde, but that's a pretty limited view, right? But God cares about all, everyone. We're all His creation. So we should pray for our enemies to have a change of heart. They're mean to us. Lord, please give them mercy and kindness and and love, and help us to get along. And it could be an example to them that they could find you. Well, we also pray for comfort, or when we need comfort, and that's peace of mind. Confessing our sins is healing for the body and soul. It's healing. It gets that burden off your heart. James 5 and 16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, here's a simple question. It's not too complicated when we think about things in a simple way. Okay, so you're sick. Do you want to be healed or do you want to be in a state of constant sickness? You want to feel ill all the time or you want to be healed? Which would you choose? Have you ever been to a doctor when you were sick? I think everybody in here probably has. You desired to be healed, didn't you? You wanted to be well. You didn't want to be sick anymore. We want to be well. You know, when we were baptized, we repented of our sins, and we realized we were sick and wanted to be healed, didn't we? And we began a new life unto Christ, a fresh start, with all sins washed away. All that burden, all that sickness, gone. Without the blood of Christ, we could not have that healing and forgiveness of our sins, though, could we? That love that God had for us, that we need to have for our fellow man, as we talked about. And as Christians, we can have our guilt and shame washed away. First through baptism, and then through prayer, asking God for forgiveness with a repentant heart. Isaiah 49 says, shout for joy, ye heavens, rejoice, ye earth, burst into song, ye mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. God does comfort all his people. Just praying and talking to God about our sins is comforting. It gets it off our heart, gets it out of our soul, our body, because God can allow you forgiveness. Forgiven. He chooses to do this as a loving parent would do their children. I didn't mean to break that cup, Dad. Okay. It may have been a punishment, but okay. I forgive you, son. I forgive you, daughter. Well, how about peace? We want peace. 1 Timothy 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. It's a nice, peaceful setting there, isn't it? You kind of, to me anyway, you're outside and there's a nice, calm lake and your mind's just clear and you can think and there's not a lot of stress around. We like peace, don't we? Well, if you're wondering what else you can pray for, here it is. More stuff that we can pray about, talk to God about. Pray for all men, kings, presidents, governors, senators, mayors, those in authority, that we can live in peace under their leadership. You know, many times it's our example to those, the way we live our life, that they're like, oh, wow, yeah. Someone's mean to us and we're nice. They don't understand not being mean back, and it can change their heart. Well, does the thought of living peaceably appeal to you, or would you rather have fighting? Peace. It's stressful. It's calming. It's comforting. It's good for the soul. Well, how to pray? What to say and how to act? The purpose of prayer is to earnestly talk to God. And it mentions a reward for praying in the verse we're going to read here. Matthew 6 and 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners, and in the corners of the streets. They may be seen by men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they all should be heard for their much speaking. It mentions a reward, doesn't it? For praying. We'll be rewarded. I feel that God answering our prayers, communicating with it, that's a reward too, isn't it? Prayer is many times a private, intimate conversation with God. And when we think about prayer, if we go, oh, well, yeah, when we're in church and we're praying out loud, when we sit down at a meal and we're all praying together, there's many other times throughout the day. Are you ever alone by yourself? Yeah. That's a good time to talk to God. Many times, I think it's a more personal, intimate thing, a one-on-one thing. And it compares, while those who pray to be seen of men receive their reward for the appearance of being righteous. That's a reward. That's what they wanted. I want people to, look, I'm praying here. And it also says we don't need many words to impress God or those around us. God understands our hearts. I don't have to have 15 long letter words to impress God. He knows our hearts. I mean, could you imagine, I think about a restaurant in particular, but you can imagine standing up in the middle of a restaurant and say, all right, attention everyone, I'm about to pray. To God. That would be a very good way to do it, wouldn't it? It's bringing the focus on you and not God. However, sometimes it might be a good idea so people would think about praying also, wouldn't it? Hey, maybe we need to pray before we eat this food. You know, the Holy Spirit intercedes also with groanings that words cannot express when we talk to God. In Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what we pray for as we ought. Maybe we really don't. Because maybe God's direction is a little different than what we're asking, and it's got to direct us a different way. But maybe we don't know how to express it either. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not my will, the will of God. The Spirit can talk to God for us. So, it understands what we're saying, and it puts it maybe in a language that God understands better, and according to his will. Well, prayer is a simple tool to speak with God. And we don't need to make it complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Even though we may not know what to say, the Holy Spirit assists us. You know, it's like having our own personal editor there when we're saying a prayer to God. It's like, we don't know exactly what to say, and we're asking, Lord, guide me this way. And the Holy Spirit, there it goes. Perfect. God's going to take care of that. Well, we looked at many things about prayer this morning, many different areas of life. But prayer is a necessary thing for direction. God will direct our lives in the way we should go through the Spirit if we'll talk to him and let him guide us. For healing, prayer gets you the best physician to treat your ailments. That's the person who created you. For understanding. Communication helps you understand each other. You have to have that communication. For intercession, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with words that we cannot speak. A good tool to have. If you're not praying all the time, it's a tool you should use more. For blessings, God said He'll provide for us if we trust in Him. We trust in Him. Say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal, but please guide me and help me and bless me, or whatever it might be. He's going to bless us. For acknowledgement, God wants us to acknowledge Him and recognize that we have been blessed. What we've been blessed with. We pray to Him. We're acknowledging God. And then we know it's thank you, Lord, for these blessings. To have God near you, near me. You know, there's an easy way to push somebody away, and that's to ignore them. Oh, hey, John, how you doing? You just walk the other way. Turn my back. Well, pretty soon there's not going to be any communication there, is there? If you desire to be near to God or have God near you, then you must pray. Talk with God. Could you imagine a stranger knocking at your door and saying, I'm here. What would be the first question you ask, probably? What are you thinking? Who are you, but why are you here? Why are you here? Without prayer, we're a stranger to God. And we distance ourselves from His blessings. Like, I'll knock on the door. Lord, I need something now. I'm really in a bad situation. I need something. Who are you? Away from me, I never knew you. We don't want that to be the situation. But prayer is a vital part of our lives from day to day, and something that we really need to take advantage of and to utilize.